say this, the word of God,
the word of God is
the answer. That's what the Lord said to me. In 1984, the summer of 1984, I was asleep. My wife was in the bed and was asleep. And I heard the Holy Ghost say, the word is the answer. I sat up in my bed and I said, answer? Answer to what? It was like an incomplete sentence. Answer to what? And later on, I discovered it's the answer to anything, any area of need, spirit, soul, body, social, and financially, anything you need, the answer is in God's word. Amen. Are you ready to get started?
Amen.
Okay, let's talk today about divine secrets of the productive life. I want you to put Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. Let's look at that. Now, God, it is God's will that you be productive. Okay, he wants you to live a productive life. So Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, notice what it says. It says, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be what?
Fruitful.
Be what?
Fruitful.
What did God tell man?
Be fruitful.
God told man to be fruitful. So it is God's will, it is God's intent that you and I, that we as individuals, we as the local church, be fruitful. God wants us to live productive. So in this series, I'm going to share with you some divine secrets of the productive life. You're going to have some secrets. You're going to have some tools to living a productive life in God. Amen. Now, here's something that God said to Jeremiah. He said that I have ordained your prophet to the nations. Now listen to what he says to him. I'm quoting the text. He said to him, I want you to root out some things. Okay? He said, I want you to pull down some things. He said, I want you to destroy some things. He said, I want you to throw some things down. Now watch this. And then he says, I want you to build and plant. Now, notice sometimes before you can build and plant, you have to root out some things. So in this first lesson, I want us to get this thing of barrenness out. Let's talk about barrenness. Let's rid ourselves of this mindset that it's all right to be barren. That it's all right to be barren. Remember, I'm talking spirit, soul, body, socially, financially, talking about your relationship, talking about in your work. I'm talking about whatever you do. We have to not tolerate barrenness. We can't tolerate it in our lives because God has called you to be productive. He's called you to be fruitful in your life. He wants you to be a success in your life. So let's talk about this issue of barrenness. What is it? Look at Genesis chapter 11, verse 30. Genesis chapter 11, verse 30. It says, but Sarai, that's Abraham's wife, it says she was what?
Barren.
She was barren and she had what?
No child.
Now notice the scripture says that his wife was barren and she had no child. So what is barrenness? What does it mean to be barren? It means not producing an offspring. In that context, she, at that point, did not produce any offspring. That's barrenness. Barrenness also means to be unfruitful, unproductive. It means to not produce results. Listen carefully. It is not God's will for you to come to church or Bible study week after week after week after week after week after week after week and month after month and year after year and not be productive.
That's right.
Over a period of time, there should be some gain in your life. That should be the motivation for you coming to church. You're going to worship God. You're going to soak to God. But your life should be getting better. You should be getting some results. You should know how to take the word and get some results. God does not want you to waste your time. Amen. So barrenness is not producing results. And that's not what God's will for your life is. So what's wrong with being barren? What's wrong with it? Let's look at another text. Jacob, had two wives. One name was Leah, and one name was Rachel. What's wrong with it? Now, I want you to look. I'm shooting for a principle. Now, I want you to shoot for a principle. Leah, one of his wives, watch this, conceived and bare what?
Son.
His name was Reuben. Next verse, verse 32. And she's conceived again and what?
Son.
That's the second child, right?
Yeah.
Next verse. And she conceived again and bare a son. Wow, she productive, isn't she? Okay, now next verse. And she conceived the what?
Again.
And bare another son. Boy, that girl is producing, right? What's wrong with barrenness? Let's look at the next verse. Watch this now. The other wife, Rachel. When Rachel saw that she bare no children, she envied her sister. So what's wrong? I'm gonna see how smart you are. I got the answer. Let's see how smart you are. Just with the text that I read, what's wrong with being barren? Now, I ain't got much time now. What's wrong with being barren? Remember, I gave you a text. You ain't gotta shoot all out here nowhere. I gave you a text. What's wrong with it?
It makes you envious.
It makes you envious, or it tempts you to be envious. Now listen at this. What's wrong with barrenness? Barrenness tempts us to be jealous, become frustrated and angry. It tempts us to be jealous. We become frustrated when we're barren because you know why? Something on the inside of us says, I'm not getting results. And it's frustrating. I don't care whatever area of your life, whether it's on your job, whether it's in marriage, whether it's parenting. I don't care what you're doing. It's frustrating to not get results. And it's frustrating to see others get results and you're not getting it. And that's what happened to Rachel. Her sister was barren. She was productive. And you know what? You know, sometimes people get angry, and you know, we got a lot of jealousy in the church. Unfortunate, we got jealousy in the church. And really the root of the jealousy is I'm not getting results and you are. You know, before our church began to grow, the Holy Spirit said this to me. He said, now you need to be prepared for jealous spirits. I didn't know what he was talking about. You need to be prepared for jealous spirits. And then the moment our church began to grow, I realized that other churches and other ministers and even other Christians were jealous. It had to be something wrong with us, you know what I mean, for us. And see, the root of it is I'm not growing. My church is not growing. And it tempts us to be jealous. But here's the good news. God wants all of us to grow. He wants all of us to be productive. Amen. Now remember this. Remember this. This is tweetable. This is good to post on Facebook. This is good. You're going to either be inspired or intimidated in life. You can choose to be inspired by others' productivity and success, or you can choose to be intimidated. And I have made a decision that I would be inspired, that I'm not going to be jealous of anybody else because God, and I'm going to show you tonight, God wants you to be productive. He wants you to be fruitful, and you don't have to look at nobody else. You don't have to be envious of nobody else because God wants you to win in life. Isn't that good?
Amen.
Now let's look at Luke chapter 13. Let's look at John chapter 15. Let's look at another John 15 verse 8. Here's going to be our motivation for being fruitful and productive. Not so people can just say I'm special, but listen to what the scripture says. Herein is my Father what? Glorified that you what? Okay. So here's the deal. You want to glorify God. And God gets glory when you're productive in your life. He gets glory when you're productive in your life. He doesn't get glory. Just like I got two wonderful adult children. And it blesses me when they do well in life.
That's good.
Right? It just blesses me. That's the way God is.
Right.
It blesses him when you do well. When you do well in life, it blesses your father. So your motivation, you know, your motivation should be, I want to glorify God. I want to make him happy. I want him to be excited about my life. Amen. Let's look at something else. I want you to see God's attitude about barrenness. Look at Luke chapter 13, Luke chapter 13, verse 6. It says, he spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. He came and sought fruit, and he found none. Mm-hmm. Next verse. He said unto the dresser of the vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit of this fig tree and find none. He said, cut it down, cut it down, cut it down. Now Jesus is teaching this parable. He's teaching us God's attitude about barrenness. He said, cut it down. Next verse. And he answered and said, vine dresser said, oh Lord, let's not cut it down right now. Let's not cut it down. Let it alone for just a year. Let's dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. If not, then after that thou shalt what? Cut it down. That's God's attitude about barrenness. Now listen at this statement. God is looking for fruit in our lives. Come on, say that. God is looking for fruit in my life. God did not create you to take up space. That's what that tree was doing. It was taking up space. Listen at this statement. Nothing which only takes out can survive. Nothing which only takes out can survive. Nothing which only takes out can survive. Listen at this. The tree was taking energy, money, and time from the vine dresser. That vine dresser coming there, coming there, coming there, coming there. Time, money, and energy. And not producing. I'm driving. We're driving all the way from Birmingham. I want some fruit.
Amen.
Got it? Got it? I want some fruit. I want to see your life better.
Amen.
I want life to be better for you. I am looking for fruit. Not just attendance. Fruit. Productivity. Expecting fruit. Now listen at this. The tree was draining the soil of strength and sustenance, and in return, it was producing nothing. Now, sometimes you have to begin at the point of discomfort to get over into the comfort of producing. You understand that? I've looked at my life in the past and I've seen barrenness. Okay? It was uncomfortable to realize that my marriage wasn't producing fruit. Okay? It was uncomfortable to realize that my ministry wasn't producing fruit. Okay? In my personal life, it was very uncomfortable, but I had to be willing to accept that discomfort and not get into denial now, so that I would have an inward pressure, not somebody else, but an inward pressure that I'm not going to tolerate this. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not going to tolerate not being productive. It doesn't feel good. You don't feel good about yourself. You know what I mean? God wants you to produce. He does not want you to take up space. Listen, I make a challenge. If you come here to this church, Faith Chapel, and you come for a whole year and you don't see nothing. I mean, you come in consistent, you hearing the word and you doing the word and it's not producing anything in your life. You should change churches. And I'm talking about this one. You should be going nowhere and you ain't producing, you ain't getting no productivity. Especially if you're doing what you're supposed to do. Does that make sense to you? Okay, let's look at some causes of barrenness. Let's look at some, I'm going to deal with five basic things. Now, here's something that I've learned. It is true for people in the world, people in the kingdom. There are certain keys to being successful in life. Okay, successful people do successful things. People who fail are doing certain things, okay? So let's look at these five things that produces barrenness. But I want to look at a text for a moment. Let's look at this text over in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 19 through 22. Now listen what it says. Listen what it says. And the men of the city said unto Elisha, behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city is not as my Lord seeth, but the water is what? Talk to me. The water is? The water is what? The water is what? So the water in the city was not. Let's see the result. And the ground was? And the ground was? Next verse. And he said, bring me a new cruse and put salt therein. And they brought it to him. And he went forth into the spring of the waters and cast the salt in there and said, thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters. There shall not be from thence any more death or barren land. Now, I want you to notice that the waters were not. N-A-U-G-H-T. Not means bad. The water was what? Bad. Now watch this, and it says that the ground was barren. The water was bad, and the ground was. So some bad stuff going on. Okay, so let's talk about for a moment some causes of a lack of productivity. Number one, bad attitude. Bad attitude will affect your results. Just having a bad attitude. Some Christians just got a bad attitude. Okay? Bad attitude. Whether you're Christian or not Christian, attitude matters. Okay? Listen carefully. A critical spirit, negative about most things. Now, if you have a critical spirit, you're not going to be productive. If you see life through a negative telescope or eyeglasses, if that's the way all you see is something negative, and you're always talking about this is negative and that is negative and this is negative, and you got a critical spirit, you're not going to be very productive in your life. If you blame others, you don't take responsibility. You're blaming somebody. Somebody else is the reason why. I would be this if it wasn't for you. I would be better off if it wasn't for you. Excuses. If you're given to excuses, you're not going to be productive. That is a bad attitude. Bad attitude. Bad attitude. When you despise things God esteem. Despise things God esteem. If worship, let's say, for example, in church, see, I'm doing all this on purpose. There are people who wait till worship is over to get to church. Mm-hmm. I see it all the time in church. I'll say it in a minute. But God esteems worship. So if we despise something that God esteems, we're not going to win. Speaking in tongues. Now, listen, I'm going to teach on it. But if you don't know about it, don't talk against it. Don't talk against something you don't know about it. Because think about it. None of us thought of speaking with tongues. God did that. So if I don't understand, I just ain't going to put my mouth on it. I'm going to learn more about it, but I ain't going to put my mouth on it because God is the one that thought it up, okay? Gifts, prophetic gifts, altar calls. When you're given an altar call and you're trying to reach people, you shouldn't just grab your stuff and just walk out. Just walking out doing the altar call. Why? Because God esteems reaching people, and we should have respect for what God is doing at that moment. Ministers. Ministries. Don't talk about ministers. Don't talk about preachers. We all know it's bad stuff. Right. Okay? We know it's bad stuff, but it's bad doctors, it's bad lawyers, it's bad car salesmen, it's bad all kinds of stuff. Okay? But the man of God, the woman of God is some God esteemed. So even though I know you need to get yourself together, even though I need to get myself together, I ain't gonna put my mouth on it. Listen, you'll never hear me. You will never hear me talking against a church. You'll never hear me talking against preachers. Never, never, never. Because it's some God esteems. Tithing is something God esteems. We don't believe in tithing. Well, just you learn about it. Shut up until you learn about it. You want to talk about stuff that God extends. Being on time. Man, Faith Chapel. I got members that Faith Chapel Birmingham. Don't we have a great church?
Amen.
We got a wonderful church. It's a great church. You ought to visit. It's a great church. In the name, it's a great church. How many? Some of y'all been to the church. It's a great church. Well, even great churches got weaknesses.
Yeah.
Ooh. That being on time thing, whew, we struggling with that. Oh, sometimes I be thinking I want to just take my hand and just slap them across the head. Will y'all get up and get the church on time? It's a cultural thing. Black folk just drag in, man. I mean, we got to get over that. We got to get better. We just drag in for everything. Now, you know it's always extenuating circumstances, right? Traffic. Pick up kids, just a lot of different extent. I'm talking about consistently late. I mean, just consistently late. You know, when I used to go to parties when I was in the world, man, you went to the party late. You don't go to no party early. You dropping in the party late. Hey, what's going on? You want it cranked up before you get there, you know? I want it cranked up, so we breaking in right there. Hey, in the house, everybody excited, you know? And see, that's the way we did. And we bring that same thing over into the kingdom. We want things to be cranked up before we get there. So we end up dragging. Coming in late. And the only thing in the worship service that you can give God, the only thing is worship. Everything else is for us. The teaching is for us. The giving is for us. Everything. The only thing you give God is the worship. So if you understand that, you want to be there because that's the time you're going to give God something. It's a bad attitude. So you got Christians, they're not fruitful and productive. They don't understand why. Because they got a bad attitude. Settle down, Mike. Come on. Get yourself down. Okay. y'all can see that time being on time thing. Yeah. 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 Now I don't want you to stay at home. I don't want you to be saying, Lord, I can't go down the Bible study because that's what I gotta be. Now come on. I'd rather for you to be late to come, but I want you to work on it. If I can drive 3 hours and get here, you can get here from 20 minutes. I mean, you got 20 minutes. Come on, we can get here on time. Come on. Come on. I'm sounding like I'm pastoring. This is a Bible study, ain't it? I ain't pastoring yet, am I? This is a Bible study. I'm sounding like I'm pastoring. Okay, come on. Let's get back to teaching. Number two, bad work ethic. Major cause of barrenness is a bad work ethic. What do you mean by that? Laziness? Carelessness? Not worried about being on time? Depending on others? Spending very little time in the Word? Say laziness. Giving little or no effort. No matter what it is, if you're going to improve yourself, you got to give some effort to improving yourself. Okay? If you're married, here's a married couple. To have a strong marriage, you have to give some effort to it. You can't put it on autopilot. You know what I mean? It's just going to work. No, no, no. You got to put some effort. A lot of people, it's unfortunate that many people that are married in the church are not happy. And the reason they're not happy is because they're giving no effort to the relationship. You can't have a strong relationship that you don't invest in it. Anything, self-improvement, parenting, you can't be lazy in your parenting. You got to know what's going on. You can't be lazy and be productive. You got to give effort. Carelessness is indifference. You really don't matter. I mean, you're not going to, listen, success is not like this. You're not just going to be walking along and just trip up into success, bump up into success. No, you can't be indifferent. You got to care about winning. You got to care about it. It got to matter to you. And you got to be willing to invest in the effort that it takes to win in life. You can't be careless, indifferent, not worrying about being on time. I'm back on that. Okay. Meetings, work, everything, appointments, be on time. Interviews, if you're interviewing for a job, never go to an interview late. Never. If you come to an interview for me and I'm hiring somebody and you are late, there's a 99% chance you're not going to get that job. Be on time to meetings. Be on time. Be an on-time person. Don't be dragging in. Don't be going in late. Be on time. On time. On time. On time. Be on what time? Be on time. You know, years ago, I discovered this. When you're late, you're disrespecting the person that you're meeting. So if you're late for church, that means you're disrespecting God. Okay? If you got an appointment at work and you're late to the appointment, you've disrespected that person that you were meeting. Wow. Wow. Must be a lot of late folk here. Must be some late folk here. Okay. Watch this. Depending on others to carry your weight. Spending very little time in the Word, very little time in prayer, that's laziness. You can't win if you're going to spend little time in it. Okay? 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 Okay. The third thing, bad teaching. Unscriptural, traditional teaching, you can't live a productive life. Poor role models. Everybody need role models. You need somebody that you look up to. Bad teaching. Number four, bad environment. Environment is very important. If you're in a dysfunctional family environment, it's hard to be productive, isn't it? Dysfunctional work environment, dysfunctional church environment. Environment is so very important. Along with bad environment is bad associations. It's very important who you connect yourself with. You got to connect yourself with people who want to win, people who want to do right, people who want to achieve. You can't hang around people who don't care and win in life. And then number five, bad devil. If you're taking notes, I said bad attitude. Number two, bad work ethic. Number three, bad teaching. Number four, bad environment. And then number five, a bad devil. Bad devil. Bad devil. Let's look at those scriptures right quick, and then we're going to run through our last scriptures. Bad devil. Say bad devil. Now, Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 11, for I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end that you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purpose to come to you. Now, listen what he says, but was led hitherto. Now, that we don't talk like that. But was led hitherto. Okay. Now, let's look at Thessalonians. He communicates this a little more simply. He said, wherefore we would have come unto you, even our Paul, once and again, but what happened?
Satan hindered us.
Now, listen. Satan is a bad devil. Okay, and you're in spiritual warfare, and you have to understand that he does not want you to live a productive life. Amen. So there's some things you're going to have to learn, and I'm going to teach you these things in this series. I'm going to teach you some things on how to take this word and work it. You're going to learn how to plant the seed in your heart. You're going to know how to do it. I'm going to show you. But you have to understand that Satan wants to hinder you. He wants to hinder you from hearing. He wants to hear you from receiving. He wants to hinder you from doing. You have an enemy. You have to understand that the Bible says, submit to God, resist him. Amen. Submit to God and what? Resist him. You got to resist him because he does not want you to live a productive life. I'm going to be committed, y'all. I'm going to be here every week.
Amen.
I'm going to be committed. You got to be committed too.
Amen.
You got to care, too. You got to care. You understand what I'm saying? You got to care. And if you care, God will cause you to be productive. I want to give you some scriptures in closing to show you God wants you to be productive. Let's walk through these scriptures quite. You're going to get one thing now, just one thing. Let's walk through these scriptures. I want you to see that God wants you to be productive. It says, there was a certain man of Zoar of the family of the Danites whose name was Manoah. His wife was what? And bear not. Now, this was Samson's mother. She was barren. Now, watch the verse. Watch the verse. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, behold, watch this. Behold, now you are barren and beareth not, but you shall conceive.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. You may have some barrenness in your life. Okay. As we walk through this, you may say, oh, boy, I ain't getting results. Okay, okay. You may have barrenness in your life, but you shall conceive.
Okay.
Okay? Your barrenness is temporary. You understand that? He sent his word and healed them. Your barrenness is temporary. Things are going to change in your life. Let's look at another scripture. Let's look at another scripture. It says, he maketh, this is Psalms. Psalms 113:9. He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. That's a good scripture to stand on if you want children. Now, some of you said, no, you don't stand on that verse right there. Okay, but it's good for somebody. Okay, let's look at the next verse. Isaiah 54. Oh, I love it. O barren, thou that didst not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Before we look at the next verse, at the end of this, we're going to stand up and we're going to begin to rejoice. We're going to take a few minutes and we're just going to get happy. Just about 60 seconds, we're going to get real happy about the productivity that's flowing into our lives.
Amen.
We're going to sing ahead of time, okay? We're going to rejoice ahead of time. Look at the next verse. Enlarge the place of your tent. Get ready, get ready, get ready for some productivity. And let them stretch forth the curtains of your habitation. Spare not, lengthen your cords, strengthen our stakes. Thou shalt break forth on the right hand. Oh, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. And we're going to rejoice before it happens. I'm telling you, God's going to drive out all barrenness in our life. Look at the next scripture. Look at the next scripture. Look at Luke chapter 1. This is our last scripture. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. And notice what it says, verse 5 through 7 and verse 11 through 14. It says, there was in the days of Herod the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the courts of Abia, his wife of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Say Elizabeth.
Elizabeth.
Okay. And they were both righteous. That's Elizabeth and Zacharias, John the Baptist's mom and dad. Watch this. And they were both righteous before God, walking all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. Watch this. And they had no child. They were barren. Because that Elizabeth was barren and both were well stricken. So they were well stricken in the age. So it looked like it was too late. Looked like too late, too late, too late, too late, too late. Looked like it's too late, too late, too late. Watch the next verse. And there appeared unto him, verse 11, an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of the incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. And the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, For thy prayer is heard. Thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. I took you to that text because I wanted to share this text with you. When time is working against you, remember, God is bigger than time.
That's good.
Listen carefully now. When time is what? Working against you. God is what? God is bigger than time. Oh, my goodness. That's too late for you to be productive. It's not too late. It's not too late. It's not too late. God is bigger than time. I can share all kinds of testimonies. A lady in our church got in that word, heard the word, been with us a long time. She's over 70. She wanted a new house. Most people won't even think about getting a new house when they're over 70.
I know, that's right.
They don't even think about it. They say, I don't want that kind of stuff. Man, she got her new house and she's so excited about it. She realized that God is bigger than time. I remember when my kids were little, man, we were struggling. I mean, we were struggling, man. We didn't have any money to be saving for no education. We trying to make it save for education. How we gonna save for education? You know, how we gonna save for education? You know how you put money? You know, when you're a young couple, you should be putting the money in education funds for your kids. And so, Lord, we have no money to put for that. You know, kids got to high school and stuff like that. And we're thinking, no, we ain't saved a lot of money for our kids to go to school. God put all our kids, put both my kids to school. They came out of school not owing a penny. No school loan. He called us up. God is bigger than time. My mother was barren. Now, I know that sounds strange. How can your mother be barren? But my mother was barren. And she came to Flint, Michigan. Her and her husband couldn't have children. She was 50. He was above 50. Came to Flint, Michigan. Saw a little baby. Little three-month-old baby. And this baby's mother and father had gotten a divorce. And so the uncle, the baby's dad's brother, had six girls, two sets of twins. And they were trying to also take care of this little three-month-old baby. So that's seven kids. She came to Flint, saw this little baby. Never had had a baby before. And said, I'll take the baby. Okay. Brought the baby to Birmingham. Got off the train. Her husband did not know she was bringing a baby home. She brought the baby home, and the first thing he did was reach out for the baby.
Okay.
Took this baby in and raised this baby. And that baby is me. Okay. That baby is me. They always wanted a baby, always wanted a child. But she couldn't give birth, so God gave them a baby. Gave them me. I needed somebody. Thank God I needed a mama. I needed a mama and I needed a daddy. And even though I didn't slide through her womb, you can tell me that wasn't my mama. She was old, and people used to say, you know, I know your grandmama. I said, that ain't my grandmama. You know, because they understood. I didn't understand the age difference. You know, all I know is this is my mama. She said, I know your grandma. I said, that's not my grandmama. That's my mama. And when I turned 18, I changed my name. You know, I could change my name. So I went and illegally changed my name from Michael Douglas Robinson to Michael Douglas Moore. Official. It was official. I am a Moore. God is bigger than time. A lot of times in life, we feel like it's late for us. Sometimes we feel like it's too late. But God is bigger than time. Okay?